Have you ever wondered how drones can help to develop climate-resilient agriculture? Do you know how remote sensors can help to protect rainforests? Or have you ever considered hiring a graphic designer online from Kenya? Welcome to Exploring Digital Spheres. This season is all about digital developments around the world. Follow our research team as they travel to 5 different countries to talk to experts from civil society, academia, and the private sector. We will address issues relating to digitalization, sustainability, the future of entrepreneurship and work around the globe.
This episode brings us to Benin, a country in West Africa on the Gulf of Guinea. Here, we will investigate the potential of sustainable digital entrepreneurship. Despite its relatively small population of only 13 million people, Benin holds the biggest market in West Africa, the Dantokba market. In addition, there is also a fast-growing digital economy. The existence of the Digital Ministry, Ministère du Numérique et de la Digitalisation, founded in 2016, shows this increasing relevance. As part of our research, we travel to Cotonou, the biggest city in the country with more than 1 million inhabitants, which is also the economic hub of the country. Here you can find a small but vibrant startup scene. In collaboration with the Digital Transformation Center Benin, we develop different formats to contribute to the promotion of sustainable digital entrepreneurship. We met people from aspiring startups and NGOs who use state-of-the-art technologies to develop solutions for climate-resilient agriculture. Furthermore, we participated in the CINIA, Benin's first national conference on AI, to get a first-hand insight into the topic. My name is Christian Graufogel. I'm the coordinator of the project Sustainability, Entrepreneurship and Global Digital Transformation. Follow me and my colleagues Georg von Richthofen and Marie Blümel to explore Cotonou and its rising digital economy. Now we will hear a short introduction on the role of sustainable entrepreneurship in Benin from Georg, who is a senior researcher at the HIC.
Benin is extremely vulnerable to climate change. While cities such as Cotonou along the Gulf of Guinea are threatened by rising sea levels, the population in the north is mainly affected by desertification. In addition, Benin is a relatively poor country, with nearly half of the population living on less than $2 a day. Sustainable entrepreneurs could play a key role in tackling these and other challenges in Benin's society. Sustainable entrepreneurs are defined as individuals who start businesses to address unmet social and environmental needs. In contrast to big corporations, entrepreneurs tend to be less constrained by the status quo and to see problems as opportunities. Digital technologies offer new opportunities for entrepreneurship, and yet adopting them can be associated with challenges. Understanding these is therefore critical so that policymakers can address them head-on. Both GIZ, its political partners, and we saw the opportunity and need to analyze the factors that inhibit sustainable entrepreneurship in Benin.
So currently we are on the way to the Palais du Congrès, to the CINIA, the first AI conference in Benin. Georg von Richthofen, a senior researcher at the Humboldt Institute for Internet and Society, is going to give a short introduction, and then we're going to have a panel about the promises and perils of artificial intelligence in Benin. So really curious to see what's going to happen there. Marie, how do you see the conference? Are you excited? What are you expecting?
Yeah, I'm very excited actually, because like the whole site is just huge and marvelous and crazy, And I guess like all of the ecosystem actors and like ministry actors will be there, and the ministry, like the Madame la Ministre herself will come. And I think it's going to be just, it is the first forum of AI in this like scale that Benin is doing. So I assume it's going to be a pretty intense and really packed workshop and event as such. I'm excited.
Thank you. And Georg, what do you think is going to happen there? Are you curious about learning?
Yeah, so I'm actually wondering, because we have a lot of AI conferences in Germany as well, and often there's this kind of people are saying, well, we're actually talking about more like myth than reality when it comes to AI, so that lots of the applications are actually not there, but more like in people's minds, and lots of people talk about AI but don't actually implement it. So now, given that's the first AI conference in Benin, I wonder actually what kind of use cases they talk about, where, if at all, AI is actually applied in Benin at all, and if so, in what sectors and for what purposes. And specifically, given that we have this panel on AI and sustainable entrepreneurship, I wonder whether there are any ideas how to apply AI to, I don't know, fight climate change and monitor climate developments. So whether AI is rather seen as a tool to make money, like to improve efficiency, or the extent to which people also conceive of AI as a tool for social good.
Thank you. So we almost reached the Palais des Congrès at the moment, so let's see who we meet and who we might be able to interview.
At the CENIA, we met Seth Agoe-Ayim from the international NGO TechnoSurf. We talked about their technological innovations for agriculture in Benin.
Welcome, Seth from TechnoSurf. We are here today at the CENIA, the first AI conference in Benin. So maybe you can tell a bit of why you're here and what you're actually doing with your project at TechnoSurf.
Wonderful. I'm from TechnoSurf, a Benin office, but on the Benin Kaju project, responsible for TechnoSurf Benin Labs. And at the labs, we look at different types of technology interventions that we can help support the Benin Kaju sector here in Benin. I'm at this first innovation conference on AI. To showcase some of the work we've been doing that we are developing to support the sector and to create that ecosystem where we can look at technology technology for development, digitization for development, to look at what solutions can we provide that would be sustainable, that can also help the farmers to improve their yield and can also land into the government policies to make sure that there is technology that is for good.
Okay, thank you. That's really interesting. With what kind of technologies are you working in the Kaju project?
Yeah, for example, we have done we have three main interventions of technology. One of these is the remote sensing work. We are using drone technology and data satellites. So we've mapped around about 1,900 Kaju plantations using drones. And then we use the artificial intelligence at the back end, working with a professor and his team at the University of Minnesota, where we developed this model to predict where are Kaju growing areas. And on our dashboard, they have various layers. And then we also have the MOOC, which is the massive online course for trainers, especially extension field workers. And this is an online program that these trainers can access anywhere in the field, and then it contains standardized training. For example, last year, our team and then the government with an expert came up with what we call the Kaju Guide, which will have the nursery guide and the plantation guide. So we thought it wise that if this is just a book and then someone will take and put it on a shelf, why can't we put it into a training material? So we're creating an online program which is being piloted currently to see how best these extension workers can use those training materials and be able to go back to the field and have a standardized training to be able to train the farmers. And we also have another solution called the Kaju app, which in minute is a Kaju quality app for helping to test the cashew quality and also trace where cashews are coming from. And this is one to create consistencies and transparency in terms of data access. And this app also helps you to document the various activities when you are trying to purchase a cashew, what are the 10 processes you go through, and document that. And you can send a report via SMS and via WhatsApp and also through emails. That makes it so easy. Someone in the field can just send report back to his supervisor or a buyer staying somewhere in Cotonou.
Okay, really interesting. Is it an open database? Are you working with or?
Yes, currently the dream is to make that open source. This is a USDA, the United States Department of Agriculture sponsored project. That is the Benin Cashew Project. So there is we are looking at handing over these solutions to the government or a local university to be able to sustain that, and then they will be able to access it and build it and be able to maintain it going forward. So it's going to be operated on an open source license.
Okay, nice, really interesting. And what, maybe you can point out a bit more, what kind of role plays actually the AI in your technology? So is it a key technology you're using actually to work with your data?
So what we are looking at in terms of the back end, we are using the different algorithm. For one, we have we are using Atalia. Yes, it's a French AI engine that is a company just like Planet. We have Planet. So this engine helps us visualize the data we've collected, and using the different models they have, using prediction models, and making sure that we can predict. One, the tree crowns, where are they cloudy or interconnected? We are also looking at how can that prediction determine if there is a need for pruning, and also we're also looking at where can we put nurseries if there is predating the area that is the plantations have been, the cashew plantation are, can we replace those plantations? They'll say if they are 20 years old, and the yield going to reduce. But that will also help us to make informed decision and also influence, support the government to influence policy. Yeah.
Okay, really interesting. And so you mainly working with drone data and satellite data. Is the database something which can be added on further on with the climate data or weather models, or is that something you have in mind also?
Yeah, so I think as of now we are just focusing to make sure that even the data we've collected, the prediction we're having, giving it the accuracy we want. So we just came out of a validation and went into the field. We did a data validation that is ongoing. We're analyzing that to see even actually is our model ready identifying cashew in the tree. So there is a plan to scale that in terms of looking at other climate data that we can put in, weather conditions and even pests and diseases of cashew. And then hopefully we are also looking at in the future, we're replicating this to other tree crops, not only cashew. This can be used for a cocoa or for a baobab and etc. But or shea butter. But we just want to make sure that we improve the model, and it's giving the exact that, and then we can start putting other layers. It's like the lesson learned will help us even improve the tools, and also if we want to replicate. That we know what are some of the mistakes that we did in the beginning and how we can prevent that for next projects if we have to replicate this.
Well, it's really, really interesting. So maybe to come a bit to the Senia conference, why are you actually here and what did you expect it? Or?
One of the things that we were looking at, we wanted to come as an organization to be part of the ecosystem. As TechnoServe is known of doing a lot of great stuff in Benin, especially we have other projects at the Benin base, project that helps small businesses, people to become self-reliant, and young people helping those with businesses to improve that. And then with the technology part from Benin Cashew Labs, we were looking at coming to also showcase what we are working on and also get some feedback and build some network for other participants or players in the ecosystem to know, oh yes, there's TechnoServe. We are not just working with farmers, but we are building solutions that can support the ecosystem, especially the cashew sector and digitalization in general in Benin. So I think this is welcoming opportunities to meet other people doing similar works and be able to have some knowledge sharing opportunities and learn from other people what they are doing that is working and then what we are also doing that is working or not working. And maybe we didn't identify that. That could help us move forward to build this strong and then prevent replication of the same thing in the same sector or in the same ecosystem. Yeah. Yesterday, we saw someone that is doing something on tree predictions and all of that,
yeah.
which is an opportunity for us. So we're going to connect with them and learn from them, and they yeah. will also learn from us. So these are some of the things we were expecting. And then one of the things that I was looking at, which I think is to also see other international organizations that came from different countries and to listen to those speakers with a perspective in AI. And you look at the metaverse that we talk about. These are something that is wow, you know. How can we participate in those ecosystems and prepare for the future in Africa?
Yeah, that's really interesting. That will be actually my next question. What do you think, what role plays digitalization in a broader sense or AI in a specific sense for the economic development in Africa or Western Africa, more focused regionally?
Yeah, you see, one of the things, when I look at the metaverse, there are a lot of opportunities in the metaverse, and now it's like it's abstract to a lot of people. But with that, we can look at this, even you're talking about international development, where we did developmental projects. In the metaverse, you can create that space where people who like a donor that is donating for a project in Benin, he can go in that space and really have the experience, like the virtual reality. He knows he can even walk on the casual farm and say, oh, this is the number of farmers we are benefiting. And technology can make that possible. You take, for example, all the online training that we are building. It will be difficult to meet the unconnected if you don't have technology. Right now, like women that we also focusing on gender, women will have access to technology, be able to do things that they couldn't. Right now, for example, they can check their money, they can save, they can do savings, they can also they can have a voice, right, with those data. And then I'm also looking at AI make it possible for even incorporating on the weather weather data, right?
Yeah.
That can help a farmer that used to just go and pray to wait till it's going to rain next week and it didn't rain, then it's affected. But the AI can tell you the pattern. We can do predictions that, for the weather pattern we see over the past five years, yeah. this is what's going to impact. And then the planner will say that, then we have to make sure that we build resilient plant that will help us and withstand the climate change. So I see it, digital for development, an important aspect of economic development in Africa. And even raising funding for projects in Africa, we can use to reach the masses and also even to fight crime. There is an opportunity to use technology to advocate, to even expose those who will want to do evil. And I think this is an opportunity that we have, especially Benin. I think this is the right time to be in Benin, where all this is happening. And then getting the youth involved to see the importance of such technology and how it can create economic development. Because for us to participate, for African youth to participate in digital economy, we have to first change the perception and let our people know that there is opportunity there. And then are we building curriculums that will make our people very relevant to compete? Like metaverse, they're going to look for developers. Are we going to bring developers from China? We must have our own developers from Benin.
Yeah.
And even with our remote sensing, we have local interns working with us who are computer science students, and that will create a capacity building that they will be able to maintain that. So I see a lot of opportunities for Africa, and Africa being the last billions, and you can see the projects that Microsoft is bringing. We have Microsoft just built a very huge innovation center in Nigeria. We have Google just drop a fiber in Togo, and then we also have Facebook that yesterday with the Metaverse connecting all across Africa. There is an opportunity for our youth to take, but now we just have to have the policy backing, and we have to have our education system to support our youth so that we can participate in a digital economy. So I think it's a big opportunity for Africa and especially Benin at this time.
Yeah. What do you think is the role of digital sovereignty there? Because, as you mentioned, well, you can fly in or bring in external developers, but also regarding new platforms, new technologies, mostly US-dominated. We have the same conversations in Europe, that we should develop our own infrastructure in Europe. What do you think is maybe the rough prediction of the digital sovereignty in Africa? What do you think? Is it actually going to be the own infrastructure here? Do you see potential?
Yeah, I think digitalization is a partnership.
Yeah.
We want to build an infrastructure in Africa. It's money and resources. We will come to a time when we in Africa will be able to provide our own infrastructure, but we will still rely on the expertise of other countries to build that ecosystem. That is why I emphasize that we should be able to train our youth to start thinking about solving our own problems. If we can start doing that, like what China did and other Asian countries did, I think Africa, we will be in that position to do that and be able to raise funding and be able to build different infrastructure in our region. Now, we should also take note. U.S. is dominant, all of that. I'm a U.S. trained, but I'm from Ghana. But that opportunity to go and study and come back home to look at, oh, there's great things happening in the U.S. Why can't we do the same thing here in Benin or in Ghana? So that opportunity, I see it, we will still need a collaborative opportunity where we collaborate with the world and make sure that we get the right technology. But there will be a time when we will be able to build our own infrastructure with our own resources. But then we need right now to build the capacity of our people and then making our youth start thinking to solve problems. If they are solving problems, I think we can build our infrastructure. We have the skills, we have the capacity, but it will take a while. But we need to collaborate with those who have done it and then learn from their mistakes so that we don't repeat that.
Yeah. So it always comes down to the question of digital education and digital literacy in the end, right? So that is really the key point, right?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for the conversation.
You're welcome. Then. I'm excited.
And hope you enjoy the next day of the senior. And hope to catch up with you maybe in Ghana.
Thank you
very much. Bye.
Thanks.
Another interesting story is the one from Theodore Boyou, who is a regional manager at Digital Rise Africa. We talked with him about the potential of technological innovations to improve the livelihood of rice farmers in Benin.
My name is Theodore Boyou. I'm specialist of the R and Python language, data scientist. And since 2018, I work with rice farmers in Benin and Ivory Coast. We are developed due the project, which name is the Digital Rice. We have developed the platform, basically help them to collect the data in the farm, the plot, how farmers conduct the process, well, all information. And with the participation of these farmers, we are decided to be more focused, more efficient, and knowing that farmers have difficulties about the market access, the advertised dissemination, and so, we are developed the firstly our first prototype is the application. The first name is also Digital Rice, but we have just he allowed the farmers to send pictures and record audio. The picture is to let us know what with the picture we can assimilate, we can estimate that in with this color we can think that we can have this. We have the nutrient deficiency and so and so. And with the record, because the farmer is not fluent in French, and with the record, we try to understand to know the problem he had. And he can say that in local language, I have attack, and we have to treat this information, call these farmers, and help them to join the specialist in the region. And so, since we come in Benin, we are developed to the Benin version. It is in Play Store, Beneri. We can see this at Beneri. It's been the signalment. We have just can send audio and pictures. And so the real problem we are is that the farmers are not assimilate for the moment the importance. He not see how he can use this application will be more useful for them.
So they can benefit from
Yes. But seeing that we are launched the national in French, we say that programme de vulgarisation, d'alphabetisation numérique des producteurs. We are learning farmers to use a smartphone and how he can use many other applications and so. The second application we have developed is AgriMeteo. We know that farmers need the climatic simulation, model simulation about we are not about running the season. He need to know more information before start his production. He helped them to know if which kind of varieties I can use. And we draw this application, the AgriMeteo application. We dissimulate information about climatical provision, and we help them to promote the research output. When we see Africa Rice, for example, because I work for many times with Africa Rice, I see like the Africa Rice have many output like Smart Valley, AWD, Atene Weeding and Drying technologies for water management and so. But when we take all farmers all around the Africa continent, we see that these farmers don't know what about. We have the output. This output is not be not know. This output is not mastered by the farmers. And through this application, we let know this information by the for the farmers in local language. Local language. We make audio, video, and test with a image, the pic, in order to help them to master. And the goal is firstly to drive all these farmers to see the vision how and what he can do with the digital in agriculture. And before this, after this, so we thinking to introduce certain functionality like result by IA, intelligence artificial, and so. And it's what we are doing. We are then go. First, our goal is about disabled patients. So when we're talking about disabled patients, many Africans think that is just to give them water, take picture, and show all around the internet that I'm helping disabled. No, disabled people. Actually, I'm active, but tomorrow I can have the accident. I can break my foot and so. I will be disabled patient. So we're working just to reveal the potential of this disabled person. AgriMeteo, for example, is built by the team of disabled engineer and so. And our we are official. We have the agreement with the government since 2018. And so we have not, for the moment, the partner. We're working by ourselves. But yes. for example, when I'm making prestation consultancy, the benefit I find, I make it to, okay, we need the data connection, we need the so-and-so. Is why, for example, I come here to see what is the government policy to, about the sector. So we are, for example, in the rice sector, we are begin since 2018. And when we are beginning, I remember certain authorities saying that no, this can never success. This can never success. Serious. In the time I was furious, I said, no, we can make it, we can make it. And by ourselves, with the help of the parents and the friend, we are drive the national in the north region to help farmers, the rice farmer basically, before need to maize, the vegetable field, and so sectors, actually with agriculture. It's what we are trying to do.
Really interesting. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you. So, okay.
From what we have seen and heard during our time in Cotonou and at the CINIA conference, Benin continues to make significant progress in the digital transformation of its economy. Especially in the digitalization of agriculture, Benin holds a real first-mover advantage. This process is driven in particular by young, well-educated professionals who want to achieve real change and development for their country. For this movement to continue, the digital, entrepreneurial, and agricultural sectors need to collaborate better and maximize synergies. The development of technical solutions aiming at the needs of local communities is a first important step in this process.
This podcast is part of the project Sustainability, Entrepreneurship and Global Digital Transformation, SET. Since November 2021, our project team has been developing innovative research formats and dialogue events in exchange with local actors from academia, politics, business and civil society in 8 countries worldwide. The project is funded by the Deutsche Gesellschaft für Internationale Zusammenarbeit on behalf of the Federal Ministry for Economic Cooperation and Development. This podcast was edited by Marie Blümel, Christian Grauvogel, Moritz Timm and Ann-Christine Ziesemer. Scientific input by Stefan Bohn, Georg von Richthofen and Fabian Stefani. Sound and recording by Alexander Triebsees.